Al Nogueira, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grand, David Crude, and Vesta Gadars. And to our camera crew, John Randolph, Karen Krug-Meadows, and Sharina Nadura. Also thanks to Anna Osbeck. Again, our website is democracynow.org. Tomorrow, we will cover the Pope in the United States. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Cloud-like mass over southern New England. Senate sources close to the National Security Consortium have refused to comment.
Let's rock and roll!
Ladies and gentlemen, it honors our biggest proud to present the single night only, who runs fix all, the one, the only.
June 12th, 1984. January 12th, 1992. October 16th, 1997. September 13th, 1999. April 19th, 2011. December 22nd, 2012. October 21st, 2015. April 5th, 2063. And now add June 30th, 2015. To this list of historic dates in history and future history. That is the day WUSB enters the eighth dimension and is transported to Captain Phil's planet. Every Tuesday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. only on WUSB Stony Brook.
Nardo, DJ Cut Supreme and Nardo, Nardo, this are the Trim Mix Party and Nardo. Here we tell them now, no. Brrr, this a one your name original. Brrr, everybody come and follow me say. Brrr, this a one your name original. This are the DJ Cut Supreme star up the show. Pass a test and then we cho. Ya hear me from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Watch ya. Keep your dial locked.
Hey, yes, please keep your dials locked. This is WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 megahertz on your FM dial. You can also reach us online at WUSB.FM. Fantastic. Check everything out there. There's tons of archiving, streaming, news, and events. Right now, it is approximately 6 p.m. That means for Tuesday, that means it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Yes, good evening, everyone. You're listening to Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and I'm joined with Emmanuel. With, by, for,
yes,
all that. He's here, I'm here, and you're here. Thanks.
I hate to say this yet again, but there's something really screwy with our headphones. Did you hear it like I hear it? We can barely hear ourselves.
Yeah, I don't hear us
at all. The music sounds great, but our voices sound awful.
So that's what I was talking about.
Why don't you switch to the other option there?
Okay.
Let's see if that's... Yeah, that's better.
Hey. Of course, you can't hear me. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay, here I am.
And here I am. So, yeah, we both seem to be there. Okay, so that's all we're going to say about that. Just suffice to say, besides that, that, wow, it sounds profoundly different to us than it does to you.
Well, I'm glad we all made it. It's good to have you. And apparently, we're set to go. So, welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome.
Technical issues aside, things are evolving. We have a new system here with mics and stuff like that. That's great, and we really thank everybody at the station for helping us out. So,
yes. As
we've covered in the past, these things are evolving and ongoing, and we'll report on any new changes. But I think we're all set.
Well, mostly anyway.
Mostly,
yeah. Things seem to be progressing at a good pace, little faster than the snail's pace, and that's all we ask for. So, yeah, Pope's in town. Well, actually, he's not in town yet. He'll be in town, I think, tomorrow.
The Pope has landed.
Yeah. Well, he's in D.C. now, I believe, and he'll be in New York either tomorrow or Thursday, one of those days.
Right, and he's not announcing exact itineraries, I don't think, but you have a rough idea of where he'll be and where he's going, right?
Yeah, places to avoid.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Doesn't happen very often, you know. Popes don't come here every day. Or even every year, so it's kind of a rarity. And he's only coming to New York, D.C., where he is now, and Philadelphia.
Short trip,
pretty short.
But it's good to have him. It's really symbolic. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting conversation, a lot of reflection. I think for both lay people and the religious alike,
as there should be,
and non-religious. Because I guess lay people are religious. They're just not clergy. Anyway.
I thought lay people were just the commoners.
Okay.
Regular people. That
so I use it right.
I think so.
All right.
As a lay person, I think you used it right.
Yeah.
As an aristocrat, I think you wouldn't have.
Hmm.
But who am I to say?
Well, you're a fantastic host and charismatic personality of this operation.
Shucks, I will say. But we do have things, more important things to talk about. And, you know, with luck, we'll take phone calls as well, because we have a liking for that kind of thing here.
Yeah, we dragged a phone line with us all the way here.
That was a mess, yes. We through campus and everything like that. It's all sorts of interesting things to talk about on campus and off campus. Should we start on campus or off campus? You tell me.
Off campus.
You want to start off campus first, and then we'll wind our way back onto campus.
Yes.
And then take some calls, hopefully. Well, did you see the debate? I know you saw the debate. We watched it together.
Yeah, we did. We watched it and analyzed it and took the right amount of breaks, because you can't digest something like that all at once. It's like, have you ever seen, what are they? Is it a python? The snakes that eat, like, huge... boa constrict, no? Anyway.
I want to say python.
We broke it into small chunks.
But a boa constrictor sounds right as well.
That's the one that squeezes. It's not an anaconda either. That's the really big one.
Right.
Snakes are great. Okay, so we watched the debate, and wow, what did we get out of that?
Well, it was humorous. It was educational. It was frustrating. It was annoying. It was definitely something to do on a Wednesday.
I'm glad we didn't clear our schedule for it. I'm glad there's such thing as watching, you know, recording things.
Well, you had to go back and say, did he really say that? And play it again and say, hey, wait a minute. Then you got to call somebody.
Yeah.
And say, did you hear what he said? And play that back.
Right.
And, I got to say, we called it last week. We called Ben Carson ignorant. We did. And I don't know if we were the first. you know, I sort of went off on a tirade about this whole doctor thing, how everybody puts doctor in front of their name to appear more intelligent, and it wasn't working in this particular case, because we heard the things he had to say about immigration and people from Syria and all that. Well, he kind of nailed it. He solidified it this last week with his comments that will live in infamy, basically saying that he does not believe a Muslim is fit to be president. Any Muslim anywhere, there's, what, a billion of them, never can a Muslim be a president of the United States, because it's incompatible. It's incompatible with the Constitution. It's just wrong. It can't happen. And he was vehemently opposed to that. And that didn't land very well amongst people with brains who basically said, what in God's name are you talking about? Whatever God it is you happen to pray to.
Yeah, it wasn't an observation. It wasn't like, you know, culturally, I think we need to grow. And, you know, it wasn't some kind of, like, broad stroke kind of meta observation from way far away, you know, maybe like sociological analysis. It was his opinion.
Right, right. He made it very clear. He wasn't saying that America needs to evolve a bit more and America is not ready for a Muslim president. He said, I do not believe a Muslim should be in the White House. It is incompatible with democracy, with the Constitution. You know what's incompatible with democracy and the Constitution is that kind of bigotry. You know, it goes against everything this country was founded for. And if you were to substitute other words for the word Muslim, you might get it. You might see how offensive and dangerous this is. Imagine somebody saying, I don't think Jews should be in the White House. I think they're incompatible.
They're not fit to be the...
Yeah. Or black people, you know, as an African-American himself, he might, maybe should have thought about that a little bit more, that it wasn't so long ago. In fact, it's still pretty common today that people would have said, no, this country is not ready for that. Or a woman, or all kinds of not even minorities, just things that are a little bit different than what you're used to. You know?
Like queers?
Yeah.
No queers in the White House. They're unfit.
Uh-huh. But a gay man's going to be leading the army. What do you think about that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was the case all along, but okay.
Well, yes, but openly gay. How about that?
And oh, okay.
Obama is actually putting someone who's openly gay in charge of the army. The army, for God's sake. I mean, come on. You people who say we're not progressing. This is progress. This is definitely something even I was surprised by. You know, I read that last week, and oh, boy, okay, well, that's a statement, all right. You know, we went from don't ask, don't tell. Within 8 years, don't ask, don't tell, to having a gay person in charge of the army. That's something. And he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something? Well, there will be all kinds of jokes, I'm sure. Battle buddies will have a different meaning and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in seriousness,
yeah,
it is profound, and I think they need it with a lot of the things that are going on in the military. I'm thinking of assault. I'm thinking of all a myriad of issues that have kind of beleaguered that institution, to say nothing of the actual conflicts we're involved in. Because,
yes,
of course, we can never blame the soldiers for the actual conflicts.
Well, not for the conflicts, but
no,
for the behavior during the conflicts, we certainly can. Not every soldier is a hero.
Yeah.
Which is something.
But for those instances, we use mercenaries. Anyway, go on.
Well, okay. What I really want to know, though, is we saw the debates. The debates were, you know, interesting. A good 8 hours spent watching all those people.
Mm-hmm.
One less now, you know, as...
That's right. Scott Walker?
Yeah, Scott Walker walked.
Yeah.
He walked away.
Walked on out of there. Done.
Seen that coming. Yeah, well, he basically, I think, said the least of anybody during the debate. I think that's always a sign. And his poll numbers kept going down. He was, I think, an asterisk, wasn't even a one anymore. So,
oh,
so
no.
That's a good indication. You have to wonder,
yeah,
you know, when numbers are that low,
uh-huh,
why keep going? It, you know, those kind of miracles don't really happen. And it just seems like you're wasting a lot of people's time. You know, although I do like a whole lot of people running. In fact, if it was up to me, all these names would be on the ballot on come November, and we get to just decide and then build coalitions based upon that. We wind up with some strange characters, that's for sure.
That's as good a plan as any, right? I
mean, yeah.
It really does give us choice.
Yeah.
And we like variety.
It would be a lot of variety. But yes, so watching the debates was enlightening. I don't know, were there any real standout moments?
Okay. How about, so I heard on a show earlier, I was driving around, they were talking about this movie, Killing the Messenger. And it's basically about kind of how maybe even Reagan's dementia was causing him to make bad decisions. How basically he was helping CIA get coke into the country so they could take the profits and support the Contras. Whole movie about basically the not only his bad decisions that
isn't
he's
that
either
exactly what happened,
really dumb, or yeah, they were talking about it. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And I think when we watched the debate, one thing we really saw, and you pointed out that nobody caught on about his wife and the currency question. Everybody was talking about putting their mom on the currency. There's no honoring of it. But in general, it was a love-in for Reagan. And I'd really like to see this movie, Killing the Messenger, because it talks about how he wasn't so great. And I really feel like I could use 100,000 cc's of that right in the gluteus maximus, because I'm really sickened by how much we love Reagan. We look so fondly back on history.
I don't. It was a joke then, and it's a joke to me now, that Reagan was ever president. He was incompetent.
And for a little characterization, it was in the Reagan Library. That's why I'm bringing it up. Because, uh-huh. Okay, so Nancy Reagan invited the Republicans, and that's where this debate occurred.
Can she just do that? She just invite anybody to the Reagan
Library?
Is it really her library?
I don't know.
I thought it was the People's Library.
Yeah, but there was so much there. Like, yeah. Just constant, I think, rhetoric and hearkening back, trying to conjure up these good feelings about Reagan. And God, they need a different deity or something to worship. I don't know.
Just listening to them all, it was, you know, thank God there's another side that we haven't really heard that much from yet. But wow, it's scary just seeing all the ignorance and hatred that is spewed. Just talking about things like immigration, Mexicans, Arabs, you name it, it comes out. And this is who they really are. Yeah, people say Trump is the one that says all the crazy things. And, you know, he doesn't represent the party. But then you have Ben Carson come along and say something equally ignorant and hateful. And, yeah, you realize all these people have this problem. They all do. Just question them a little bit, and it will come out at some point. So that really was kind of an eye-opener. Well, the thing I really want to know, though,
sure,
is after the debate, the next day was that famous town hall that took place in New Hampshire with Donald Trump taking questions.
That's right.
And then you had the one redneck idiot guy.
First question he took.
It was the first question, yeah. He basically said that he started right off saying that Obama was a Muslim, wasn't a citizen, and he wants to know when we can get rid of all the Muslims. And it really filled with hatred, too. I mean, you could just tell this guy was ready to go. If Trump had said, you know, it's 0 day now, go, you know, and start taking out Muslims, that guy would have just done it. I want to know, who is that? I mean, has anybody identified who he is? Because what he did, he basically got Trump into a lot of trouble for not refuting anything he said. And then he got Ben Carson to say what he said afterwards as a reaction to that.
Yeah.
So this one little redneck guy in New Hampshire was able to derail two presidential campaigns and get everybody talking about this. I'm amazed. What power? You know, all you have to do is ask one stupid question that will be met with an equally stupid answer, and you're controlling the presidential race.
All whilst he still sounds quite out of his mind.
Yes. Yes. Wait, who? The questioner or Trump?
It doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, imagine being Muslim American. They've been responding with frustration, exasperation, anger.
Damage control, any?
Well, not on their behalf.
No.
There hasn't been any damage control on the part of Trump or Carson, because they're both standing by what they did.
Right, they believe. They're not even changing. They can't. They can't change from how they they have to make it appear intentional in every, you know, that.
But if you're a Muslim in this country, you should be worried because of the amount of vitriol that's being spewed about. There's 2.8 million Muslims in America. Basically, to hear people who are that important, presidential candidates,
mm-hmm,
saying that there's no place for their kind in the White House, saying that it's time to get rid of them, saying that their religion is a violent one and completely at odds with what America stands for, I'd be very worried about what that could lead to, because that inspires people. You know, it inspires people with less intelligence, if you can believe there are such people, to do horrible things. And I think when you start seeing hate crimes occurring, you have to think back at the source and point your finger at the Trumps and the Carsons, who basically get people to hate on this level. You know, if you look at actual...
It validates it.
Yeah. If you look at the facts, you know, people like to point to facts and distort them and say who has caused all the trouble in the world in the last however many decades, who is the violent religion, who are the people that are blowing things up. You know, if you really looked at that, I think the finger would come right back at us every time. Because who's blowing things up all around the world? Who's using drones to destroy entire neighborhoods and kill innocent people, whether or not we meant to? The point is, that is how we are viewed by many in the world.
Yeah,
and you can look at our motives and say they're pure, but you know what? You can look at the motives of anybody and say they're pure. It basically is justification for all kinds of horrible acts. We are not immune from that. And to say that one group of people is the one responsible and our hands are clean, that is basically delusional behavior, I think.
And this comes right back to the characterization of corporate individuals as psychopaths, right? I mean, yes. didn't we talk about that a couple of weeks ago, that basically if you were to assess a corporation as an individual, they would be psychopathic.
That's from the movie The Corporation.
Or psychotic tendencies of sorts. And let's not forget that, because when we say we mean this country and the political structure that's controlling it, which in a lot of ways is lobbying, which is industry and corporations, not just domestic either. These are multinational corporations that come in and want to use our guns and direct the ire of this country where they please.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's really important to make that distinction, because I think we can get a little overwhelmed. We get kind of, you know, you take that personally, because you yourself might feel that, might not, you know, want to wish harm upon people and so on and so forth. But it really is about the electorate taking control of how our executive and how we execute in the world, rather than constantly reacting to the institutions that are actually working, but they're working for the wrong interests, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm coming from on that. But I hear you for sure. It's sick.
And, you know, some of this was also inspired by what happened to that kid in Texas, the Muslim kid who brought a clock in a suitcase to school and wound up being arrested or kicked out of school or basically just held up for the rest of the world to see. When in actuality, what was being held up to see was the bigotry and ignorance of people in Texas. Sarah Palin has weighed in on this, and you can only imagine where that has led. She's known for her controversial statements. She's also known for her completely nonsensical ones. She basically lashed out at, guess who, U.S. President Barack Obama, for supporting a Muslim schoolboy who was arrested and dragged out in handcuffs for bringing a homemade clock to class. I'm sorry. I enjoyed reading that sentence so much. I'd like to read it again. Sarah Palin lashed out at U.S. President Barack Obama for supporting a Muslim schoolboy who was arrested and dragged out in handcuffs for bringing a homemade clock to class. She took to Facebook to voice her displeasure at the president's decision to invite the teenager to the White House, and also condemn the quote, and remember, it's a Sarah Palin quote, so get ready for it, reactionary/biased media. She's calling people reactionary? For siding with the boy and defending his, quote, dangerous, wired-up, bomb-looking contraption, unquote. And back into another quote here. Yep, believing that's a clock in a school pencil box is like believing Barack Obama is ruling over the most transparent administration in history. Ooh, zing. Right, that's a clock, and I'm the Queen of England. She wrote in a Facebook post. Sarah, it was a clock. For God's sake, it was most definitely a clock. It was not a bomb. You know, people who say this looked like a bomb, you've been watching too many bad TV shows, because bombs don't really look like that. I mean, a timing device, sure, might look like a clock to you, because guess what? It's a timing device. That's how they look. If it was a bomb, why didn't they evacuate the school? If they really thought this was a bomb and they were scared, they shouldn't have kept everybody there.
I looked at the pictures of the device, and I kind of empathize with the materials he had. I believe he, like, took apart a clock, and he had an enclosure that looked like a case. It had a hinge and clasps. It is something that could open and close. I actually empathize that he was probably reusing something that he had around, and it's really hard to find stuff that can be an enclosure, a cigar box, right? He's not old enough to smoke a cigar. Anyway, point is,
I heard it was a pencil box.
Radio Shack is closed. Yeah, it was a pencil box that looked like a Halliburton briefcase or something. It was like a metal black case with aluminum corners and a handle. It looked like a mini briefcase, maybe even a cosmetic case. Oh, I don't know what cosmetic cases look like. But it was a hinged storage box, pencil box of some kind.
Right.
I empathize because it is really hard to find enclosures. And guess what? Radio Shack closed. They're the only place that sold enclosures for electronics, and they're gone. So in modern sort of hacker space aristocracy, of course, you could have a laser cutter and, you know, cut your plexiglass or cut your wood. This kid did not have access to that.
You're saying if Radio Shack hadn't gone bankrupt, none of this would have happened.
I'm saying that he was reusing things that were around him. Fine, it looked like a briefcase, and that is kind of a classic cartoon bomb-looking thing. But he could have put it in any other enclosure. He just didn't have access to it. He couldn't have built an enclosure for it. And I think it's just being conflated that, you know, think about it. He's a kid. He's susceptible to media. He's building stuff that he's seen in media, right?
He's 14 years old. I'm hearing all kinds of critique saying he wasn't forthcoming. He didn't say exactly what was going on.
Yeah, there's a lot.
He's 14. Have you ever been 14? You know, it's an awkward age. You're not always forthcoming. You don't always explain things exactly right. And sometimes you might even want to inject a little mischief into things. It's not the end of the world. In fact,
what if that kept him from being bullied or something?
I did a little digging. You know what? There was another incident involving this kid.
Oh,
yeah. This might change your feelings.
He's a known agent.
No, they actually did deliberately build a bomb-like device to prank his teacher once. Now, that prank ended with him in juvenile detention, where he basically taught other people in juvenile detention, and this is a quote, how they could remove the electric wires from an overhead fan and attach them to the metal bars to shock the guards. That sort of changes things, doesn't it? Except I misread this a little bit. You know what? That wasn't that kid. That was Steve Wozniak.
Oh.
That's what happened to Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak, may surprise you to know, is not Muslim, not dark-skinned, and he was treated as a kid pulling a prank, as he should have been. And look what he went on to do. He went on to cause all kinds of problems. So maybe we should learn something.
I think juvie's harsh.
It is.
It's for that bomb. Prank.
But he deliberately did this. He deliberately went out and made what looked like a fake bomb. Now, you could say, oh, that was pre-9/11.
Right.
You know, that's just nonsense, because we are still the same people.
Yeah, world history was pre-9/11.
Kids are still going to be kids, and we have to deal with that. Yes.
Right.
It's the only thing that changed is our stupidity level started soaring, and we don't have to live by those rules.
Well, where's the blame for all the fear that's being generated around terrorism and all this stuff? I mean, that this is the kind of stuff, this is this kind of side effect. This is what happens when we live and believe this constant state of manufactured fear.
Right. But it also shows that this definitely happens more if you look a certain way, if you're of a particular background. And it's disturbing, and that's what we have to address. That's far more of a threat than kids being mischievous.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of funny hearing from, like, whatever her name is from Alaska. I mean, because she's huge into guns and stuff. And, I mean, I don't know. I think there's some irony. You could open that up, too, because they're big into weapons and all this sort of machismo. And here they are condemning people that aren't even coming close. And there's plenty of white kids who bring guns to school. So,
well, yeah, you know, in fact, Sarah goes on about that a little bit as well.
Oh.
Well, it's an important thing that has to be basically mentioned. She says, friends, consider the kids disciplined and or kicked out of school for bringing squirt guns to school. Or, and this is my favorite, taking bites out of a Pop-Tart until it resembled a gun. Who does that? Who can do that? Can you take a Pop-Tart and chew it in a certain way so it looks like a gun? And why? Why are people doing this?
This reminds me of these Hispanic kids that were like, when I was in like fourth or fifth grade, and they like would make paper guns. They like talk about their 9 millis. They'd be like, oh yeah, I got a 9 milli. You know, and they like point their little paper guns at you. And like, I got yanked out of the public school system and, you know, thrust into God knows what that was, you know, nice and antiseptic. But
because, you know, Hispanic kids were pointing paper guns at you?
No, I didn't. That was kind of what I missed out on in the rest of middle school and high school.
I missed that too. Wow.
But it, you know, that was the kind of lousy multiculturalism that I grew up with. And the only Hispanic kids that were really in the school I was in at that level were, like, you know, making paper guns. And well, I just think that it speaks volumes.
The point is, she's coming up with these ridiculous analogies. Squirt guns, is anyone really, like, kicked out of school for bringing a squirt? Maybe so, and that's, I think that's wrong if that happens. But I never heard of a case where somebody chews a Pop-Tart until it looks like a gun. And she says, you know, that's to some politically correct Yahoo. I love how she uses the vernacular and turns it in the other direction. You know, like, she'll call people who criticize her reactionary when she's the queen of reactionary. She might not be the queen of England, but she's the queen of reactionary. That's for damn sure. She also goes on, the student out deer hunting with his dad early one morning who forgot he had a box of ammo in his truck when he parked in front of the school slot that day. And they just keep going on from there. Or the kid that accidentally brings a handgun into class and shows it to people, and it goes off accidentally because he was cleaning it, because he wanted it to stay clean. Or the kid that gets into a fight and uses the gun to kill somebody because, well, let's face it, if he hadn't done that, they would have killed his whole family. You know, the examples just get worse and worse.
Yeah, and the kid that, like, accidentally double parks his U-Haul full of ammonium nitrate.
Yeah, and then because Obama, he blows it up, and who can blame him for that?
That's right. Definitely.
But, you know, one of these examples, though, she parked his truck. The kids, I guess they all have trucks to bring to school.
Well, come on, we've been to Alaska.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, but the people there seem so nice.
Yeah, but I could see, you know, trucks is the go-to vehicle.
All right, yes, but not ignorance.
At least it wasn't quad.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, there's a cannabis film festival coming to Brooklyn this weekend.
Of course there is.
They're going to have their what they call the Great Weed Way. Organizers of the first ever New York City Cannabis Film Festival want to celebrate marijuana in a responsible fashion. It's an all-day event. We'll feature cannabis-related films. I don't know how many of those there are. Tailored towards people under the influence of marijuana on Saturday at the Wythe Hotel in Brooklyn. It's tailored towards people under the influence at that moment.
So they're not saying that you're going to be smoking there, that anybody's going to be smoking there, but they're kind of suggesting that it's like popcorn, but not.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if they'll be handing it out there.
BYOW.
Yes. Cannabis and film have gone hand in hand for years. That's according to one of the organizers, a Michael Zaitsev. We want to celebrate the creativity of the cannabis community and invite those outside the community to learn more about this wonderful plant and people who are inspired by it. We want to challenge the stigma of the lazy stoner. Co-organizer Tim Mattson suggested the idea of a film festival in order to promote and educate people about cannabis culture. Mattson and Michael Zaitsev are the organizers of High New York, a group pushing for the legalization of marijuana in New York for responsible adults.
Faster!
The goal of our event is to educate the attendees, inspire them to take action in the movement to end cannabis prohibition, and also have fun. The first screening will begin at 4:20 p.m. So there you go. That's our public service announcement for that particular event taking place. Okay, so that's all the off-campus news. Here's a little bit of news that affects campus.
Can I just mention one thing?
Yes, please.
Just operationally speaking, we are getting a heck of a lot of phone calls here. So if you're out there, be patient.
Yeah, but that might be for us. That might be for somebody telling us the building is burning or something.
No, it's the number. We know that you're calling. We're going to be ready for calls in just a second.
Yeah, don't pressure us. Don't try and push us into taking calls.
Yeah, we know you're there.
Ready to take calls?
We know you're there. We're getting ready.
Nerve-wracking. We got to get into the mood.
We have campus news to discuss, so just chill. You know, take a breather. We'll get to it.
Yes.
Hold on.
And you can turn the volume down by sliding.
It is down.
Oh, okay.
You can go on.
Unplug the thing, too. Okay, so there was a study. Actually, this is off campus, but it relates to us. The study found that 95% of deceased NFL players have brain disease. 95%. Researchers with the Department of Veterans Affairs in Boston University identified chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy. That's a $20 word right there. CTE. We'll just call it that.
Mm-hmm.
An 87 out of 91 deceased NFL players, indicating that there is a link between football and long-term brain disease. You know,
I bet these researchers played football.
Well, here's the thing. How is it that this is news? You know, you're basically ramming your head into another person's head over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then we're saying, oh, wow, you know what? This could actually hurt you. This could cause brain injury because your brain is right there. You know, you're not hitting them with you know, your shoulder. Well, you are sometimes, but, you know, you're basically going head first into this. Kind of like boxing. And guess what? Boxers also have many traumatic brain injuries, far higher than anybody else. So, you know, it just struck me that here we are at this university that wants to raise $100 million to do all this football-related nonsense.
A smart people university, right?
Yeah, you know, how about teaching people about this? We're a learning institution. This is something that I think people should know, especially the people that we're encouraging to go out there and ram their heads into hard objects.
But No,
I don't. Whatever the answer is, it's going to upset me tremendously because we can do better than this. We really can. There are ways of playing safely. And to be fair, the record has improved. But I don't think the record has improved nearly enough. I mean, a kid out in Rocky Point died last year from football-related injuries.
Oh, my gosh. You remember that?
Yeah, and it's not an isolated incident.
On the field.
Everywhere. It's only a matter of time before it happens here.
Yeah.
Unless we actually start educating people and making it apparent that we're paying attention. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of enthusiasm for, you know, the program and making the team as best as they possibly can. And, you know, everything has a cost. In addition to the $100 million, far more valuable is the health of the people that are actually engaged in this.
Yeah.
So we need to look at studies like this and take them very seriously because they're well overdue. But they tell a story. They tell a story of people who don't care, people who let this kind of thing happen in the interest of entertainment and funds and things like that.
Yeah, can you think of one reason why? I mean, maybe they're being clouded a little bit. Look, there's other ways to use your head.
Especially in a university.
There are other games, too. But also, there's a lot of money in football. I mean, that's why they're asking for this.
That's what
And like. I know Stony Brook is working incredibly hard to catch up to the University of Washington, my alma mater. But I think you got a lot of work to do, people. You're going to have to get that department going. You're going to have to get another stadium, maybe 3-4.
Okay, that's the thing that really gets me, is that they want to build another stadium when we have a stadium already, and they went bananas building that one.
But you see, it is about money.
Uh-huh.
They want to bring in money for the department. I think they should be warned.
Why? So that they can get more players. First of all, it should be about school, not about paying for players, all right? Or paying for coaches or all that kind of nonsense.
And the prestige and everything. But
we have the prestige. This is a prestigious place. First of all, you have us. You have USB, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But you also have, you know, some of the best scientific departments in the country right here. You know, we've got a great hospital, which you would think, you know, would be keenly interested in what's going on across the street in the stadium. This is the kind of thing that you realize it's all different angles that we're approaching this from. It's disturbing. I don't understand. I never have understood why higher education has to be tied into this particular sport or any particular sport to such a degree that it becomes a dominant force.
It's just like circumcision. They just want it to look the same as it always has. It's tradition.
One hell of a parallel, but yeah. I suppose there's some truth in that.
Yep. Anyway, all the people involved in that wonderful activity really should at least take pause and really consider how bad it would look if profits were being put ahead of people's well-being.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And at least, you know, let's spread it out a little bit. If we're going to go berserk over sports, let's use it to improve other parts of the university as well, because without the other parts of the university, there would be no sports. All right. And I dare say that is what got us to this stage right now, for better or for worse. So continuing to build up other parts of the university, I think, would be in everyone's interest. I'm reading things now. I just saw this in the Stony Brook Press. You know, this building, the building we're in right now, is going to be destroyed or imploded or gutted or something. We have to leave. We have to leave within the year. They still haven't told us where we're going. That's a whole other issue right now. But I'm reading these cases. Listen to this quote right here. There's an amazing place downstairs called the Craft Centers, where people build all kinds of amazing items of craft work, whether it's woodworking or pottery or all sorts of things. We were down there, and it's just it's people come from the community, they come from the campus. It's really, really an amazing place. Now
it's one of the forgotten things. You have all these other programs and things, and you really have to remember it's all of it that really makes a diverse and interesting campus.
And this
right?
building, I lived in this building pretty much my entire college career.
Sure,
there was so much to do here. There was a game area. There's the newspaper, craft center, radio station, you name it, just unending.
Yep.
Well, the craft center is basically, as everybody else, has to vacate the building. The difference is, when this building's renovations are done, there will be no space reserved for the craft center. In other words, they've built a new building. They built a new sports-oriented building next door to this one.
Okay.
They're building another building.
Wait. Which one? There's like five.
I don't even know.
It's okay. All right. Never mind. Forget
athletic
it.
Athletic center.
It's detailed.
It's, yeah. But they're building another building.
But sure, another building, yeah.
To the east of us a little bit. And there's also a student activity center that a lot of clubs are moving to. But then, in the end, in a couple of years, this building will be back. It'll be new. And it'll have at least as much space as it has right now. How in God's name is there not room for the craft center, which is there now, to exist in this building in the future? Especially considering that there's two new buildings that have just popped up next door to it. How is it that there's no space for something as important as the craft center?
And this is instructive to the radio station situation, I gather. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at,
definitely,
right?
It tells you something about priorities. And I'll tell you, if this was the football team, it would not be happening. But the craft center is very different. Now, this is a craft center member since 1991 named Dale, who says, "I'm heartbroken." She said, "This was my therapy. This was my second home. It's terrible for the kids," said another longtime member, who said the craft center was an excellent form of therapy for the students, especially those stressed with the hard sciences and math subjects. Everyone has issues in their lives. This was a great way to relieve the stress. That's just one story. There's the University Cafe downstairs where we have our concert series.
It's an actual, like, kind of, it used to be a bar. It was a bar.
It is a bar. It's the only bar left on campus. You know, there used to be bars everywhere on campus. And I don't say that meaning this used to be Skid Row or anything like that. It basically was a normal part of college life.
You didn't have to travel off campus to go and socialize,
it
right?
It was safe because you didn't have to drive to go to a bar. Students ran the bars. They all had their own unique personality. Every dorm had their own bar. Okay, fine. Things changed. The drinking age went from 18 to 21, and we got all conservative and that
seat
kind of
belts.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're still not in cars, so it didn't matter. But there was the GSO Lounge, a graduate student organization, because they were old enough to drink. And then that turned into the University Cafe right here in the Union. And that is a great place to meet people, to hang out, to de-stress, to have a concert series. No room for that either in the new Union. No room for that anywhere on campus. This is nonsense. It's utter nonsense that all this money and space is being afforded to certain things and other things are just being eliminated. We got to stop this at some point. And that brings me to USB. We still don't know what our future is going to be. Are we going to be treated this way as well? I think we are the crown jewel of the university. I really do, because we're the voice that emanates throughout the entire world talking about this place. The fact that we can talk about this right now, live on the air, says something. And that's always been what Stony Brook has been to me, a bastion of free speech and expression and creativity. But it just seems like we're moving in the wrong direction, and we better start waking up.
Yeah. Less culture, more Dane Bramage.
That's very funny. That's very funny, yes.
Dane Bramage.
I used to do a show called Brain Damage on this.
Dane Bramage?
Some people did call it that, but not me. We're going to take phone calls, but first I want to update people. Yes, Europa League group stage started on Thursday.
Oh, fantastic.
And you don't know this yet.
No, I'm way out of it. I'm totally fresh. Got it.
Our team,
lay it on me.
Our team is the Swiss team, I believe, called Michelin.
Okay, Michelin. Michelin.
Well, I heard it said
it's
on,
with the J.
I heard it said on television. And the guy said Michelin. It's spelled M-I-D-T-J-Y-L-L-A-N-D. So pronounce that however you feel like.
All right, I'll take my interpretation.
I'm sorry,
back.
They're not Swiss. They're Danish.
Danish, okay.
Boy, I'm ignorant sometimes. They are currently, what they've done now is they've made about a dozen four-team groups, and they're each going to play each other twice, kind of like a little mini World Cup. And that's going to go on for a few months. And then the top two teams for each group progress to the next stage. So we're in a group with Napoli from Italy, Legia Warsaw from Poland, and Club Bruges from Belgium. And the first matches took place on Thursday. Napoli slaughtered Club Bruges 5-0. 5-0. Real embarrassment.
Mm.
And we were playing Warsaw, Legia Warsaw, and our team, Michelin, won 1-0. Which is really, really good. So we are now in second place. Napoli is way up on top because they had 5-goal differential. But this is good because Club Bruges, I think, was ranked above us. And now they are way in the cellar with a 5-goal deficit. So that could play to our advantage as this particular competition goes on. Next match, I think, for us is on October 22nd. And I say us because this is the team we're following out of default for all the teams that have lost in the past and that we've been following since last year in England's FA Cup. We can explain that again in the future. But for now, I think we should move towards taking phone calls.
All right. Now, I'm going to... Yeah, I'm smart. I'm going to... Yeah, now I can't hear myself. I'm going to do this and that.
You're listening to...
Zoe.
Rhiannon.
Lily.
Sarah.
David.
On...
WUSB Stone.
This... Gosh, that's loud.
Wow. That was certainly loud. I hope our listeners didn't get hit as hard as we did.
I don't hear the PSA.
Well, I don't know what could have happened there, but we'll hear it on the tape, that's for sure. But looks like our levels are fine. I think everything's okay.
Okay.
I hear myself a lot better now than I did before. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. So 631-632-6901, you're listening to Off the Wall with Kyle and Emmanuel here. Please share with us your thoughts.
Last week, my voice was way down, and I heard myself fine.
Yeah, I heard there was some kind of amp or preamp with some of these mics that was on the fritz, but
that's been
who
fixed,
knows?
But now there's a post-amp problem.
Okay, so, well, when you make any change, the universe fills in with new challenges. So, okay, this call right here. Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're pretty well. How are you doing?
Oh, can't complain. Hey, I'm just curious. Are there really people who think that Ben Carson and Donald Trump, regardless of what they say, can really be president? I mean, let's be honest, okay? Yeah, they're saying a lot of things people don't want to hear. They're saying things that people do want to hear, all right? But really, do you really think that these boneheads even have a chance?
Well, okay, let me try and answer that. And they are number one.
Person will not get in if he's not supposed to.
Okay, they are number one and number two, respectively, by a wide margin over everybody else. I think everybody else is pretty much in single digits after them. That is something that should be looked at. Why is that? And I agree, I don't think either one will become president or is competent to become president, certainly. But right now, the numbers from Republican voters tell a very different story. And I think really where the concern should be aimed is at those Republican voters, because these people have no sense of reality.
I guess that's true, but I don't know. I mean, I just don't think if the wrong per, how do I say this? If the wrong person, The wrong person just won't be. Something will happen. Something will change, or something.
Well, we saw that with the comment, the guy that raised his comments at the Trump rally. How fragile appearances are in these campaigns.
No, I just don't think that. Yeah, the numbers might say one thing, but I don't. I mean, well, first of all, polls are a lot of the times. I mean, how accurate are the polls to begin with?
Yeah.
I mean, this far away.
Yeah, it's subject absolutely, and that's I think something that they're actually banking on is that the numbers go up, go down. You've heard a lot of them talking about it in that sense.
Well, here's the thing: what's coming next? What's coming next is New Hampshire and Iowa primaries or whatever. They're ahead in both of those states. If they actually win those states, I mean, I've seen candidates drop out after doing poorly in the first states. They carry a tremendous amount of weight, and I'm not really sure why. I think it's a flawed system, but I worry it's going to get even worse as far as how important these two are seen when those results come in.
Well, I didn't know that they were, you said, in those two states. Now, that's something I didn't know. I didn't know that they were ahead in those two states. That's actually interesting. I didn't even think it would get that far, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate. I'll check.
Wow. Well, that's something to be said, but I just don't think that they really can get in. I just don't think so.
I'm with you on that. I actually think the individuals themselves are incredibly silly and have, like, very, I mean, I don't know, the credibility, I mean, maybe, like, some charisma is there, but individually I think they're fools. But it's the sentiment, it's the support, it's the attitudes, that kind of social, what they're able to capture,
All right, that makes sense. Now,
the upset.
Just real quick, and I'll let somebody jump in right quick before you all split.
Sure, yeah.
Even after what Carson said, even after what that dingbat said, he's still surging in the polls, or dead, or is the number getting even higher, which you would be scary.
Well, I know it's not hurting Trump. I'm looking right now, and Trump is still leading the field in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. You know, of course, that's not the country, but it's indicative in these early stages of the direction this could go. In Iowa, they say Ben Carson is closer to Trump than anyone in any state. Of course, that was actually before his comments that was said, so that might have changed.
Yeah, I'm thinking that was kind of a scatterbrain, dingbat, bonehead thing to say, but all right.
But eventually they're all going to say something like that. That's the point, because that's basically their platform.
Yeah, and this process is for exactly that purpose, teasing, kneading out kind of what these people think.
I'm glad that we're doing it this way. I'm glad there are debates that include all the candidates and that people have the chance to make total asses of themselves, because I think it is serving the American public.
Hey, where are you calling from?
That they did. I'm in Port Jeff, actually.
Hey, you're down Port.
Yeah, no, actually, upper Port Jefferson.
All right, you're up Port. Hey, that's great. Have fun down there, and thanks for your call.
Not a problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
I think he's actually in Port Jefferson Station.
Ah.
That's the upper part.
Maybe at a barbershop.
631-632-6901, if you want to call and say anything on anything that we've talked about tonight. We only have a couple of minutes, though.
631-632-6901. If you're on campus and you're a student and you just started freaking out about midterms, you can call us at 26901.
Wait, it's September. Didn't school just start? Are they freaking out about midterms?
They're already freaking out.
They're just freaking out in general.
They want to get A's.
No, they're turning on, freaking out, tuning out.
Tuning.
Whatever. Yeah.
Tuning, you tuning. All right. 631-632-6901, 26901 if you're on campus. Plus 1-631-632-6901 if you are outside of the country.
If you're in some kind of office complex, you might have to dial 9 first.
Yeah, if you're in an office, you might have to dial 9 to get an outside line. Then 1-631-632-6901. You might be able to get away with 10-digit, but that's a whole other subject. And if you're not on the planet, you might try to contact ISS and they could patch you through, but I don't really know.
If you're in CIA headquarters, I'm told that a good outgoing code to reach long distance numbers such as ours is 972-155.
Good.
I just got that on my phone.
I'm glad we were able to impart that. So 631-632-6901. You're listening to Off the Wall with Kyle and Emmanuel here.
So CIA employees have no excuse now not to call us.
Yeah, we should get your thoughts. Please share with us how everything's going and how you feel about some of the topics we raised tonight. And
there's no calls coming in, is there? I can tell by the way
we had a lot of calls coming in earlier.
Yeah,
so
why do people do that? They call in when we're not taking phone calls. They stack up the lines and they all go away somewhere.
Oh, well, they were upset or had something to add. We really struck a nerve.
These little red dots on the phone got miffed and they went somewhere. We don't even know who they are or where they went.
That's true. Wow, that's what happened.
Okay, you want to be like that? Fine.
Well, you know what? You're out of time, people. We are going
30 seconds. 30 seconds. Just to be fair.
All right, 1,000.
That's not how you count.
Oh. One, two.
No, you count down.
Oh, 30.
Well, you 20, should be up to 25.
Like 20, not 20. 19, 18, 17. That, we have a call.
Phone is distracting me.
Hey, you're on Off the Wall. Hello, caller. Speak up, please.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? What's on your mind?
I got 10 seconds, right?
Oh, we'll give you a couple more seconds than that. What's up?
Play the music underneath him.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, if it's just 10 seconds worth, I have one recommendation for your listeners.
Okay.
That is, listen to Noam Chomsky.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. What a speech he gave just the other day that was broadcast.
I'd like to add, is that guy human? Because he's been around forever, and he's always right on topic. He's like the most famous person that nobody seems to know about.
He's the best low energy for your buck.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's brilliant.
He knows what he's talking about.
So,
all right. Well, thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Where are you calling from?
To talk it.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Hey, we're out of time.
We are out of time.
All right, guys, enjoy it.
Take care. And we're still in delay, you know.
Yeah, so I messed up.
We have to get out of delay. Were we playing music underneath us and we didn't hear it?
I tried. I tried. Okay,
that's
we're here. We're back. Okay, so it's the end of the show. We're going back out of delay.
Don't forget to switch your headphones or you'll get very confused and you'll start talking.
Yeah,
and see, you got to wait to stop talking before you. Okay.
Yeah, I actually thought it was going to do that going the other way.
I don't hear any music.
God, I can't hear anything. This is really messed up. Okay, everyone, thank you.
There's so much dirt caked into that board that we cannot get out of the board.
Pretty much everything fell apart.
Yeah, that's why we're having these problems.
Oh my goodness! I just want to play a CD.
You can't get the audio to come through. The dirt is blocking it. That's what's happening. Finn's here. You see Finn? Finn has a pitchfork this week, and it's not my fault, Finn, all right? He did it. He's using, look at that. He's trying to play audio through that thing that hasn't been touched in 30 years. it won't even let the CD come out now. Our CD is being held captive by a rogue CD player.
We owe Finn. We owe him for this time.
We owe him time. Yeah. How do you pay back time?
Well, I need time.
All right. Well, so take as much out. As you want, then. We're doling it out.
We're out of here.
As much as reading on that CD.
There we go.
Thanks for your patience, everyone. It's been great.
My, that's loud.
For Off the Wall, this is Kyle saying goodnight.
And Emmanuel saying, ow, that hurts.
Yeah, kids, this is Finn, Finn's Revolution, WUSB Stony Brook. Kids, Finn with you, Finn's Revolution, right here on WUSB Stony Brook. We're going to be giving away some tickets very shortly to the Port Jeff Documentary Film Festival next week. I'm going to be talking to New Yorker cartoonist George Booth in just a few moments. And plus, we're going to celebrate the birthdays of Mr. Nick Cave and Miss Joan Jett.
Times before, and coincidences are just accidents, nothing less and nothing more. I come around when she expects it the least. She always looks so strange and tragic. She comes on like some juju priest, laying down her own brand of magic. She tells me that she'll be true. She ain't the type to keep her promises. I used to be down with the faithful man. Now I'm hanging with the doubting Thomases. 'Cause accidents keep happening. This old world was born from one. There are servants they don't govern, and I don't put too much faith in them. Well, let me tell you a little more about Mabel. She's shaped like an inverted duck's bum pair. I roll out my tongue when she walks past, fix her with my famous jelly-eyed stare. Her husband is a Cro-Magnon man with a magnum. He recites the Second Amendment, Jim. Oh, well, the accidents will happen. I'm a hoping what might happen to him. We're accidents waiting to happen. You know they'll be happening for all time. While you're having yours, I'll be having mine. Maybe you and I will get it together.
With me.
Well, here we are.